I felt the goodness of the Lord and the anointing of the Holy Ghost throughout this day. And this service, God has great things. God's not done. Amen. God has great things for us. After service tonight, there's a birthday anniversary celebration. Everybody's invited to the third building. I think we're having chili tonight, and we want you to come and enjoy some great chili. I know I'm anxious. Amen. After a while to get some good chili. Yesterday evening, Sister C and I made some. But we want you to come and enjoy fellowship. Amen. But oh, tonight, God still has great things for us in this service. Amen. Worship the Lord with my precious wife.
I've heard there's pearls on the gates and gold on the streets, and the things we often wish for we'll just trample beneath our feet. But it's not a wish for a mansion that draws me to that place, but it's a strong, strong desire to see Jesus face to face. It's Jesus that I want to see. It's Jesus that I want to see. All the gold that you can put there won't make it heaven for me, 'cause it's Jesus that I want to see. That it will be lovely, such sights we're going to behold. There'll be a wall made of jasper and a street that is transparent gold. But if there were no splendor, it would be all the same to me. Because wherever Jesus is, that will be heaven for me. Oh, it's Jesus that I want to see.
Somebody sing it with her tonight. It's Jesus.
It is Jesus that I want to see. Put there, it won't make it heaven for me, because it's Jesus that I want to see. I'm sure that it will be lovely, such sights we will behold. There will be a wall made of jasper and a street that is transparent gold. But if there were no splendor, it would be all the same to me. Because where Jesus is, that will be heaven. I want to see. It is Jesus that I want to see. All the gold that you could put there won't make it heaven.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands with us right now. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice and your heart to the Lord tonight. I praise you, Jesus. I worship you, my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you today, God. Hallelujah. I'm going to the book of Ecclesiastes tonight, the 12th chapter. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We're thankful for the goodness of the Lord today. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, and we're going to go to verse 13 and 14. But tonight, if you ever read Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, it says, basically, remember your Creator in the times of your energy, the time of your youth. Don't wait to another time to live for God. Live for God now. Put some principle in your life, foundation in your life. Don't think you're going to wait till you get old. Live for God while you can. Amen. And he gives in verse 8, he said, vanity of vanities. He said, everything's vanity. And he said, there's nothing real and nothing solid to build your life on outside of Jesus Christ or the Word of God. Then verse 13, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Absolute here. God said everything is going to be brought into judgment. Good things, bad things, you're going to stand before God. But he said, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Don't you love the bottom line when God gives a promise to you? He said, fear God. Verse 13, fear God. Fear God. Everybody say, fear God. And keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. I want to talk to you tonight. You're on duty to keep fear in your life for God and to keep his commandments. Amen. You're on duty for the master. Amen. And I want you to put your Bible down for just a moment. Amen. And I want you with me right now just to pray, God, help me to be on duty tonight. Help me, oh God, to do what you call me to do and be who you call me to be. Help me to keep fear vibrant and awake and alive in my life. Help me to keep your word, Lord Jesus, the center of my life. Help me respect you. Help me to fear you. And Lord, help me always, God, to recognize your authority, your power in my life. I praise you, Jesus. And I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. And thank you for the privilege of being in your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody say amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise and a lifted voice. Lift your voice to God tonight. Woo! Hallelujah, yes. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Ecclesiastes begins to speak here about this duty. There's some people feel like they can live like they want, but you're on duty. We talked about life this morning, the brevity of life. We talked about time, eternity, and you, how you fit in the puzzle and the plan of God. You're on duty tonight. But while you're on duty, I'd like to just relate this tonight. I love to, one of the aspirations one day that I want to see, I want to go to Washington, D.C. and watch the soldiers at that tomb of the unknown soldier. They're on duty to represent and to guard that tomb, to represent a life that was given for our liberty, our freedom. And with great prestige, those soldiers are there, whether it be rain, snow, heat, or cold. They're there. Has anybody ever been there? I know Sister Pirtle and them has been. There's several of you that have been. I've never been there. But how amazing it is that these men have dedicated and they have consecrated their life to stand and to represent a nation and to represent the values. And there are some etiquettes and ethics that they stand for there. They wanted to have there, first of all, almost a sacredness, an honor that is filled with sacredness and respect. If you're loud, they will lift their voice. And that soldier would say, "Hey, quiet." They give strict orders that you maintain a respect, that you would consider the cause of the reason that you've come to that place. They're there to stop anybody from being foolish. They're there to represent the sacredness and the honor that is there in that place. I want to say this today. God has called us to represent His glory. We have to have that same thing in our lives to guard that sacredness and that fear of God. I find that some people have no fear of God anymore. They used to respect God, but they have no fear of God. They have no respect or sense of sacredness. But when a country starts becoming immoral, the first thing they lose is that fear of God. They begin to feel like they have choices, their ways. And they forget that their God and their man and He's God. I want to just talk to us tonight. Amen. God has called this church, amen, for duty today. Our duty is not just to stand out there a certain time or term at our post and then to go back and retreat. But from what I gather about these soldiers, they're there to represent our government, to represent our freedom, and to keep that sacredness there. But even when they're not on the job, they're to maintain some order in their life. Tonight, even when we're not in church, God's called us to maintain some order. Even when you're not in the house of God, for you to maintain some sacredness in your life. We have to live it, but yet we have to guard it. As a parent, you got to guard it in your home. You got to guard it and you got to institute it in your children. As an individual, you may be a single young man, Brother CJ, but you better guard it in your heart. It better be instituted in you a sacredness and a respect and a love for God, a fear for God. Because when we let down that, well, there's no longer a fear for God. It is like a city that don't have a fence. The enemy could creep in. The enemy could come and overtake you so suddenly. You're defenseless without a fear of God. I like the old-fashioned fear that the church, the house of God, is still a sacred place. I know this is a building tonight, but the Bible says you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. For it's the church of the living God. Whether the church service is assembled in a garage or a fine edifice, amen, it ought to have a sacredness there. And we got to guard that. We come to the house of God. We're not just here punching in the clock and saying, "I've been to church." But friend, we better be the church when we come to the house of God. Man, as a pastor through the years, in my time, 33 years of pastoring, I've seen a loss of sacredness. You know, back when I was a kid, nobody would go to the church with a hat on. Nobody wore a hat, especially a man, because it was a sacred place that you took off your hat. Nobody in their right mind would chew gum in church. Nobody in their right mind would come and bring a, let's just say, a different type of book and read a storybook in church. Why? This is a house of God. You didn't come bring something else to look at and entertain yourself with. But today we have cell phones. And already in the church, there's some tonight has already played on their phone and looked at their phone. This is still the house of God. Come on. Amen. Are you a slave to your phone? You need to remember that when you come to the house of God, this is His time. This is His time. But really, this is your time. This is your term, your own duty to get what God has for you. So if you got a big problem with your phone, you got to keep looking at that phone every few minutes. Probably the best thing you could do is leave it in your car. Because not only do you distract yourself, but you're teaching something to other people that it's okay to come to the house of God and be disrespectful to the things of God. I want to keep it sacred, don't you? Amen. I want things to be holy here. I don't want barriers. We've got enough barriers and things in our life that hinder us. Amen. Oh, people of the redeemed, we've got to keep the sacred in our life. Fear God. We've got to have fear again. Amen. Amen. Old-fashioned church. And used to, if you had to go to the restroom, man, you just didn't pop up and disturb 15 people around you. And just make a trip, you didn't go, and if you did any talking in the church, amen, it definitely wouldn't have disturbed somebody else. Amen. And I know there's people with physical problems that have to go to the restroom, that's fine. But we're living in an hour where people still just don't think. And they're teaching their kids that they could just go in and out, disturbing. You don't know who's here, whose last service it is. I want it to be that the Holy Ghost, and didn't I have the audacity, amen, to have somebody say, you mean he's telling us we can't go to the bathroom anymore? Oh yeah, you said that. It come back to your pastor. One of your friends told me. Pastor, you know what they said? I just want to tell you tonight, we got to fight for the sacred things of God. And there ought to be some sense in our fight. This is not something that we want to open the door and let hell take over. Keep the sacred things of God in your life. Ecclesiastes speaks about the fear of God and the commandment of God. God has the final say, folks. There's not an excuse that you can make up, manufacture, to try to manipulate God. Especially when it's been very clear that you have to obey God, His authority. Authority, God has a final say. Enforcement. His word's going to be upheld, believe me. God will bless those that bless Him. And there's correction that God, because there's some people that just can't be corrected. Let me ask you a question. Can you be corrected? Can you be corrected as a sheep? Can you take correction? Now, there's a difference for somebody just being mean and just trying to muscle their way and just for them to... And then there's somebody that tries to correct and steer you from the ledge of a great fall, a great damage to your life. Thank God for correction. Hallelujah. With correction comes instruction in righteousness. I just don't want to say you can't do, you can't do, you can't do, you can't do. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But I want to tell somebody, you can live for God. You can be an overcomer. You can make it in this hour. God wants somebody to realize that His word matters. His way matters. The word of God is impacting. when we keep it sacred. There's a sacredness when you find a group of people that still want the old-fashioned way, that want the straight and narrow, a people that's hungering and hungering for the old paths. Amen. The people that wants the sacred, ancient things of the Word of God. They want the God of heaven to put his seal of approval on their life. It will transform you when you want what God has for you. But it has to be his way. Amen. Obedience to the Word of God. To the ultimate authority of the Word of God. 2 Timothy, Paul said, writing to Timothy, his son, he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's still, the Word of God is meant to steer us clear of obstacles and things that can hinder our relationship with God, that want to steal from us. Then, 2 Peter 1:21 said, holy men of God, they wrote as a spirit spoke to them. This word just didn't come about. This wasn't a bunch of just theologians and scholars that got together and said, let's just write. I still believe in the power of God's holy word, don't you? Amen. Praise God. This is a sacred book. This is still a holy book. Amen. Hallelujah. And we got to keep the things of God in our life. Amen. Brother Pirtle, your friend that came to church about a year ago, maybe a little over a year, that came, who was a Muslim. He was drawn back when he seen people put their Bible on the floor. He said, if that's your sacred book, what are you doing to putting it on the floor? Then I read later that Muslims put the Quran on the highest shelf of their house. They keep it higher than everything else, because they want to remind them that it's sacred to them. I want to tell you, the Word of God is greater than the Quran. And we need to hold it and put it on the highest shelf of our life and obey it and put it number one. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, the Lord began to speak to the children of Israel. He gave what we call the 10 commandments. And those were 10. There was a lot more commandments in the Word of God. 600 and something, I believe. 630 something. I'm not sure upon that number right now. But the 10 commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image or an idol. All these different things are there for a purpose. Uh-huh. And it's crazy today that our world has got to the place in your lifetime where they wanted to take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse. Isn't it crazy? They want it out of the schoolhouse. They want it out of the church house. They don't want you to preach against homosexuality. They don't want you to preach against adultery. They don't want you to preach against perjury. They don't want you to preach against fornication. Friend, if God still commands it, we still better obey it. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, it's ironic that they have taken it from the courthouse. But you think with me. If a person stole something, where do you go to be charged? You go to the courthouse. A person committed perjury, guess where you're going to go to trial at? At the courthouse. If a person committed adultery and needed a divorce, guess where they're going? Courthouse. Why take something away when you're going to have to go face something there that's the same thing? The Word of God needs to be sacred in our life. The Ten Commandments are not the ten suggestions, but they're the divine directives from God Almighty. And I want to tell you what Jeremiah said. God watches over his word to perform it. I thank God when you keep the Word of God in your life sacred, God's going to perform what you obey. When you keep God in the midst of your life as number one, God's going to be number one in your life in every way. Obedience in action begins to bring faith in your life. Compliancy to God. It's more than doing it just because the preacher said it. It's doing it because of the Word of God, the fear of God, the things of God. Now, our president, has just made some executive orders. Executive orders. He has the authority. They're going to enforce them. And they're supposed to make a difference in our world. There's some things that have to go, and there's some things that have to be implemented. God made some executive orders in our life. Come on, God has some executive orders. Amen. There's some things that God, amen, has put into action and authority. Amen. He wants them to be enforced in your life. Come on, he's going to stand behind his word. They will make a difference in your life. When the word of God is hidden in your heart, it'll keep you from sinning. It'll keep you from lying. It'll keep you from cheating. It'll keep you from beating up your neighbor with your tongue. You'll start doing the things of God. Things have to go when executive orders come in. Things have to be implemented. There's some things that you're going to get rid of. God's order requires a change. Some things must go and some things must be implemented again. I'm reminded in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, there was a king of Israel named Saul. God gave him executive orders. You see, the Amalekites were the enemy that was so pagan and so vile, perverted, that they would cross the border when their families was there, and they would steal their little girls, their little boys, and do horrible things to them. While the ladies were at work in the field or at work in the home, they loved to steal the innocent and pervert the innocent. They loved to destroy things. And God told King Saul to go and utterly kill and wipe out and destroy all the Amalekites. He said, don't even save one. Well, that was an executive order. And the king felt like, since he was the king, he could negotiate those orders. And he felt like he was entitled. He thought, oh, well, I have the entitlement that I could partially obey. I want to tell you, partial obedience is still flat disobedience. So King Saul, you know, I don't care what the man of God says. I don't care what the shepherd, the king, or the prophet of God said. The prophet of God said, utterly destroy. God said, get rid of it. And there's people the same way today. I don't care what the pastor says. That's just Pastor Crossway, folks. Amen. The Bible teaches we got to obey your shepherd, because he's going to give an account of your soul, of the good things you've done and the bad things you've done. And when the Lord calls me up and says, what about her? If she hasn't complied, I can't say, well, God, you know, she's been a good person. Oh, she could sing like a mockingbird. I have to give exactly the account for that soul. I have to give account for your soul. And so, Fred, if your shepherd, if the man of God in your life tells you, hey, stay away from that. We're not doing that to put my thumb on your head. We're doing it, friend, to keep you in the fold of God and to keep evil out and the unclean out. We're here tonight to talk about unclean things and to keep the Amalekites out of our life. Well, old King Saul, big and tall, thought he had the authority to fudge with the things of God. I know the word fudge cannot be translated in Spanish like I really want it, because fudge means some kind of good thing. But you know what I'm talking about. When somebody messes with the truth, somebody twists and manipulates the things of God. I want to talk to your heart tonight, saint. God wants you to make it. God wants you to have integrity in your life. God wants you to have a relationship with him. Where is the fear of God? Do you still maintain and keep the fear of God? Do you keep the commandments of God? Without the commandment of the fear of God, you're not doing your duty. Yeah. King Saul went and he brought back the best of the Amalekites. And the king, Agag, the king. And so he came back and he boasted, "Oh, Pastor, I did what you told me to do." Woo! 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 Revival in the camp. You know what Samuel said? "Why is it that I hear the bleating of sheep?" My. Why is it that I hear some things behind you? If you've obeyed God, there's some things following you and telling off on you that are not holy and not wholesome. Hear me, saint, tonight in this place, you got to be saved. I got to be saved. We got to make it. We can't play around on the pathway to heaven. This is real. This is not just a play game or a video game. You got to make it, friend. So, the Bible says that the king, he disobeyed, but the man of God went and got a sword. And he killed Agag, and I mean sliced him up, diced him up. And he killed all the sheep, all the different things. You know what the excuse of King Saul was? He said, "I come to bring the best for worship or sacrifice to God." I just want to tell you what the Word of God says. It is better to obey than the sacrifice. He said, "For rebellion is as the sin of what? Witchcraft." You're no better than a witch, amen, in witchcraft when you disobey the things of God. God wants a victorious church here tonight. God wants victorious people. He wants young people. He wants parents. He wants elderly people to be victorious. God don't want you to be a loser. God don't want you to be penalized because of unbelief and unfaithfulness to the King of Kings. God wants a church that is an obedient church to His Word. Hallelujah. Preachers don't preach against sin. But God has commissioned me to preach against sin. Amen. 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 If I didn't preach against sin, I'm not up to my job. I'm not doing my duty. But you better be proactive against the things of sin in your life. Amen. It may not be a sin for somebody else across the congregation, but things can become a sin to you. They may not be listed down a list somewheres, but if it becomes a sin and it becomes a stumbling block to you and somebody else, you need to rid it before it takes your life. We can't negotiate with the things of God. Fudge and God's standard must not be compromised. The ancient landmarks must not be removed. The boundaries must not be erased. The lines must not be ignored. We got to comply with the things of God. The leadership of this church and those that get on the platform sign a platform standard. And this is the deal. I don't want to go around policing and saying, "You sign a platform standard, but yet you're living the other way." I don't want to have to go around police. I believe you ought to have enough integrity to say, "God, I'm doing it because of you. I am separating my life and consecrating my life because of you." Amen. I'll tell you, we would not have that if I didn't feel it was something sacred. We're going to keep this platform a sacred platform. Our leadership we're going to fight for because it matters. It matters in this hour. Come on, we don't need Agag. We don't need the Amalekites. We don't need what they have. We need the sacred offering for God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pure heart. God wants you to offer, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. God is looking for people to stay in focus with His Word. Practical application of obedience. We attend church with a spirit of worship. We keep the spirit of worship as a vital thing. Oh, why do you, man, Brother Cross, why are you always harping on prayer? No prayer, no victory. The engine of this church should never be preaching or singing. It ought to be prayer. Come on, hallelujah. What drives this church should be the spirit of prayer. the spirit prayer. Amen. Oh, friend, it's not a time for us to get together and just when it's prayer time. Amen. For us to talk and look around and just watch. Amen. Even our leaders, I watch. Amen. Some of our leaders sometime in prayer. Amen. Oh, they're just sitting around looking around. Amen. At invisible butterflies. No, it's a time to pray. It's a time to get to business. Hey, we're in war, son of God. God is looking for somebody to maintain some things. Sister Benton, Stonewall. You're missing Stonewall. You know what made Stonewall a powerful church? Brother Williams, you was there, wasn't you? Sister Benton, Brother Williams, Brother Coon, different ones grew up in that church. Did your papa also? Renee? Your daddy was there, wasn't he? Do you know what made that church such a powerful church? They kept the engine of prayer going. There was a sacredness that they guarded. They were on guard against the sacred. And what a shame. When they got popular to the place where they thought, whoa, we got miracles happening in our church. And they quit praying. They started straying. She testified about it tonight. You know what God wants? God wants somebody to put the mantle of prayer back on. Somebody that don't have to be asked, come on, saint. Amen. But it ought to be an automatic response. God, I come boldly before your throne. I come tonight to fight the fight. I come to pray, God, for your liberty in the house. Amen. That healing could happen and glory could fall and people to come and encounter the glory of the power of the Holy Ghost. How many wants that in your church that when a man walks in, that there is deliverance and victory? It still has to come through the means of prayer. Oh, would you lift your voice and pray to God right now? Come on, lift your voice. I need some prayer warriors to lift your voice and pray. God, move me with prayer. Come on, pray. God, move me with the spirit of prayer. Come on, the call of duty tonight. As a soldier that is guarding the sacred things of God, when somebody steps out of line, when somebody's disruptive, God, give me the boldness to say, hey, this is a house of God. Oh, that I teach my children. Oh, how to walk before God. How to live before God. That young man that walks in this place has never had anything that could find something here. That Guillermo could walk in and say, there's something God's doing here. But more than him coming and getting something, but he can learn to stand guard and take up it, that place, that he can learn to get on duty for himself as well. That when his brother comes around and says, come on, man, you need a little bit of this, that he said, no, I represent a higher thing, that I will not bend, I will not bow. Oh, when somebody said, oh, it don't hurt to fudge a little bit. It don't hurt. Come on, it don't hurt. You're great. But if it offends my God, I want to have the power to resist the enemy. My Jesus. Amen. The Lord's trying to talk to us tonight, saint. Hallelujah. God's trying to wake up a church tonight. How many wants revival? Hey, how many wants old-fashioned revival? Amen. How many wants revival in your hour? How many wants it and craves it? The only way revival could come if we stand for it and we get on duty and stay on duty. You know, obedience to God is the most infallible evidence of sincerity and supreme love for him. To obey God's will is to find peace. To disobey is to find chaos. True obedience is a refusal to compromise in any regard to our allegiance to God's authority. C.S. Lewis. God's looking for somebody to say yes to him. Only thing it took was just a few good men. Men that would step up and say, I don't want to be a wishy-washy piece of driftwood. I want the favor and the anointing of God. I want it to be in my life. Amen. I want you to tell some of you young preachers, amen, you want to preach, but you need to learn to walk with God. You need to learn to stand like a tree, like in the Psalm 1. Amen. You don't need to be so wishy-washy that is blown to and fro every other day by sin and the practice of sin. You need to stand steadfast with the word of God. Come on, I'm preaching to you to get you to stand for the things of God and to implement the fear of God in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. We got somewhere to go, friend. This world's not my home. I talked about it this morning, how the brevity of life. Death is a visitor that doesn't care what time, day, or night, and who you are, and what you have planned. You could be 17 years old, and death could make a visitation tonight to your house. You could be 33 years old, but I'm a wife. I got four kids. It doesn't matter. Oh, but I'm a strong 45-year-old man. So what? Death don't care. You better have some life insurance in your life. You better have some things, amen, that you've guarded the treasures of God in your life. Amen. I want to be ready to meet God. How about you? I want to hear the Lord say, well done. I want the blessed things of God in my life. I want some holiness and righteousness. Amen. To be in the foundation that I stand on. I don't want to be the wishy-washy person that one day just comes, the next day I'm something else. No, God is looking for a people that have made themselves ready. Pastor, you're too hard. Pastor, you're too pointed. Pastor, you're always harping. But I better preach. I got a job to do, don't I? I got a cause to do. If it looks like sin, walks like sin, talks like sin, acts like sin, it's sin. If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, talks like a duck, it's a duck. And if it's contrary to the things of God, oh God, so help me, that I keep the sacred in my life. The fear of God must be put back. That altar is a sacred place. When it's altar service, the job of the church, you get up here and you preach, and when you get done, I'm sweating. My t-shirt's wet right now. You get up here and preach your guts out, and somebody comes to the altar and you're worn out. You go down there and try to pray with them, and you look at people that are so carnal that will not help pray somebody with somebody. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with that. When somebody comes, I don't care what they've done. They come as an indication, I need strength, I need help. Instead of you trying to say, I wonder what they did. No, that's not what we come to the altar for. The altar is just as much for the saint as it is for the sinner. Somebody say amen. You know I'm telling the truth. But we got to keep this a deliverance place. So when Brother Danny Williams walks down to the front and he comes to that altar, oh God, let there be somebody that would stand with him. Somebody that would encourage him instead of trying to figure out, oh, what did he do? No. Oh, God, help me to be there strong for somebody. Amen. To help my church, to help my church family. God is looking for a church that realizes, come on, this is a holy place. This is a sacred area where people can come and find life and the abundance of God. Instead of for a time for you just to ease your way to somebody and start a conversation. God. My old pastor used to say on Sunday morning when he was preaching, he said, there's some of you more concerned about your roast burning than your soul burning. Our greatest concern, amen, is for the sacred and the holy and the righteousness of God. Amen. Would you lift your hands to the Lord tonight, saint? Hallelujah. Every soul in this building, would you just begin to close your eyes? And I want you to seek the Lord with me right now. I want you to get the burden of what I'm trying to say as a pastor tonight. Come on, we got to get back. We got to get back to the things of God. We got to get back to the righteousness of God. We got to get back to the most sacredness of God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, move me. Oh, God, shape in me. Help me, oh, God. Work on my soul, dear God. Wake up something in me. Put it in me, God. Take a coal from the altar and, Lord, touch me with it. Hallelujah. Come on, does God have liberty to correct you? Does God have liberty to squeeze your heart tonight and touch you and minister to you? Does God have liberty to instruct you, to guide you, to work on you? Hallelujah. Ramayla Rabahi Kamaya Raya. Oh God, speak. Indu Surabara Rabayala. Yuasaya Ramaya Raya Raya. Ikomo Ira Daba Bara Raya Raya. Hallelujah. Oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, you can't cast out a carnal spirit. You can't cast out a carnal spirit. Come on, it has to be driven out with the power of the Holy Ghost and a commitment to God. The flesh has to be crucified. I need some sacred guards of truth to come and pray. Come on, I need some people that will stand guard tonight.
I want to be.
Hallelujah.
Among that number that day.
I need some frontliners.
With lamps on.
Some people that love the old path.
And burning bright.
The people that want the old path in your life.
So pure and spotless white. Jesus, help me to.
You can't come kneel at the altar. Would you come to the front and just sit, amen, and help me pray? I need some prayer warriors tonight. Hallelujah. Well, there's a call. There's a call. There's a call. There's a call. There's a call.
With you spend eternity.
Hallelujah. I want to be in that number, Jesus.
Among that number that day.
Oh, God. Come on, pray. Let the Holy Ghost lay the foundation again in you. Let the Holy Ghost refresh your drive, your relationship. Hallelujah, Lord, in your name.
Jesus, help me.
Move me with your spirit.
To be faithful.
Oh, God. Hallelujah. Come on, men. I need some men to pray. Come on, men, pray. Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God.
With lamps trimmed and burning bright, with robes so pure and spotless white. Jesus, help me to be faithful.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I pray.
Come Come on, would you cry? I need somebody to weep.
I want to hear.
Come on, Zion, weep. I need Zion to weep tonight in prayer. God, renew us. Renew me, oh God. Renew my heart.
To be among that number that day.
You shaparomakatarabaya la la.
With lamps trimmed and burning bright, with robes so pure and spotless white. Jesus, help me.
Come on, Zion, pray. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Come on, saint, lift your voice. Oh, 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 God.
A living sacrifice.
My God.
Holy and acceptable to you. Sacrifice, knowing it's the least that I can do.
Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Make my life, oh God,
a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. Make,
come on, ask God to set your heart afire. Put a fire in me, Jesus. Shut up that fire in my bones. Put a fire in my bones, God, my bones tonight. Put a fire in my bones, oh God. Let the zeal of the Holy Ghost be in me, Jesus.
A living sacrifice. Holy, holy, acceptable to you. Make my life. A living sacrifice, knowing it is the least that I can do. Make my life a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Living sacrifice, knowing it is the least that I can do. I want to be holy, Lord, holy like you.
Yes.
I want to be holy, holy like you. Holy Spirit.
Come on, somebody, put the armor of God on tonight, Lord. God, suit me up, Lord. I pray for the helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness. Let my loins be girded with truth. My feet shod tonight, God. Help me to use the shield of the sword. Help me to quench the fiery darts of the enemy.
Holy, holy light. Make me new so I can be holy, holy like you. I wanna be ready, ready to meet you. I wanna be ready, ready to meet you. Holy Spirit, make me new so I can be ready, ready to meet you. Oh, I want to be ready, Jesus, ready to meet you. Ready, ready to meet you. Holy Spirit, would you purify? So I can be ready, ready to meet you. Fall
Hallelujah. Come on, would you let the Holy Ghost right now? Come on, let's give liberty to the Holy Ghost right now. God's not done. Come on, there's something God wants to speak tonight in this place to us. Come on, would you let the Holy Ghost work? Come on, I need somebody to pray, somebody to pray. Oh, God. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, step before the throne. Step in the Spirit tonight. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost, saint. Come on, it's worth fighting for tonight. Yes. Let the Holy Ghost flow through you. Come on, be that conduit of prayer. Come on, son of God, I want you to help me fight right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost is trying to get us somewhere right now. Hallelujah. Don't be distracted. I need you to pray in the Spirit. Come on, pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, push your way right now. Push your way to victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, brother, let the Holy Ghost use you. Come on, brother, let the Holy Ghost use you right now. Hallelujah. Come on, the spirit of prayer and travail is on you right now. Don't slack off. Come on, hallelujah, sister, let the Holy Ghost use you. Hallelujah, let the spirit of intercession, let the spirit of the Holy Ghost work through you right now. In the name of the Lord, hallelujah. Oh, oh, hallelujah. Yo, Lord, let your most sacred power flow right down the sky. Hallelujah. Would somebody say yes from your spirit right now, more than your voice? Amen. Somebody give God that yes from your heart. Oh, God, please take me. Take me to that holy place. God, lead me to that sacred place. Come on, pray. Come on, pray in your spirit right now, deep in the Holy Ghost. God, take me to that throne room, God, for your service. God, to stand guard, to be yours. God, to keep that which is holy, to do what you've called me to do and be who you called me to be. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody lift your voice right now. Hallelujah. God, I need you. Come on, address that, Lord. I need you. Come on, the Holy Ghost is saying, I got a deeper realm for you to live. A deeper realm that you can walk in than what you've been in. Come on, there's a holiness and a righteousness that God wants you to dwell in. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible near you, if there's a Bible near you, would you grab that Bible? And would you take it and put it across your chest and pray, God, let the promises of this word, the things of this word come alive. Come on, pray that, Lord. Put it, God, let it come alive in my heart. God, let it come alive. Put that fire in me, oh Lord. Put that fire, shut it up in my bones, dear Jesus. Hallelujah. God, seal it in me, Lord. Seal that fire in my bones, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Seal it within my bones, dear God. Seal it within my bones, dear God. Seal it in me, Lord. Oh, thy word, let me hide it in my heart, my life, oh God. Hallelujah. Build me on your word, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus.